Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you, and we give you the glory. Father, thank you for this time, for this start of Holy Week. We thank you, Lord. This is the most holy, the most important celebration for us as Christians. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to participate in this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, before going to the Bible, I'm going to share this with you. Do you know that, now I know not all people see it this way. For the majority of us, Christmas is more important, which is celebrating the birth. But if the Lord Jesus was just born, had just been born, and hadn't done the finished works that he did, he wouldn't have died for us. We would have been dead in our own merits. Technically, this is the greatest party that there is, and celebration. But it is the one that is least celebrated and should be celebrated the most. Majority of countries, if they celebrate Holy Week, it's paganism. And at this time, they're just searching eggs from a rabbit. But still, in many big churches, this is still celebrated. Supposedly, Mr. Trump, the new administration, is going to do something big, something good for this Holy Week. Glory to God. Good. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's start with today's subject. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Who is this man? I'm going to show it in one way. Who he is he is 100% man, but he is 100% God. He is our Redeemer. Not just is he the Savior, he is our Redeemer. He is the Messiah. But let's take step by step here with the Bible. Now, some versions, I'm going to ask you to please pay attention here on the screen so you can follow along better. In Luke 1, verse 26, and I'll start there. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, before continuing, who can tell me in a practical way what is it that you understand by the word betrothed? What was that? Without marriage, yeah. Well, the idea that I had, as I had heard it before, that a person who was recently married. How many of you have been taught that word that way? No? Okay. Well, some versions or some preachers for this word in from the Spanish translation, they say it as if Mary was already married. Now, praise the Lord that you understand it better. I'm going to put it in the Amplified Classic. What is it, 127? To a girl never having been married and a virgin, engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I say it this way because in actuality, you will never hear a person when they refer to a woman say, oh, this woman here, it is betrothed with my cousin. Do we say that way? No, we don't use it that way. Actually, as I said, he gave the idea perhaps years ago, different translations. Again, we're talking about cassettes. Again, back then it would be used as recently married. But in reality here, she was engaged. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Jesus, you know what the word Jesus means? It comes from the Hebrew, Yeshua. It means the Lord is salvation. From there, it tells you what this Jesus is. This Jesus, I'll now tell you what this Jesus isn't. This Jesus is not a prophet, as many say, only a prophet. This Jesus is not only a good man. This Jesus isn't only a man that said kind words and with a kind philosophy, as many proclaim. This Jesus is God incarnate. This Jesus is 100% man. He had a humanity to him, but he was 100% God. And if I have time in this session, if not in our midweek services, the question is, let me tell you something about Mary, actually, contrary to what many believe, we just criticize her, don't praise her. Mary, as we've studied the life of Abraham, we've studied the life of David, Elijah, John the Baptist. We've spoken ill of them or good. Very good, right? We give examples of their merits. Perhaps bad as to not do what they did. But normally we speak good of them. Well, I can tell you that Mary, in what the Bible briefly shares of her, but let me rephrase. When we've spoken of David, we normally speak the good things that he did, but we also speak of the errors. Again, not to criticize him in a bad way, but to learn from them. When we spoke of Elijah, we saw how he had doubt. We saw how he left the things of God, how he had fear. We spoke bad of him, but not to criticize, but again, learn from him and not to act in the same way. But if we were to speak of Mary, we wouldn't find any necessarily wrong of her. Only good. Mary, according to some historic data, was between 14 to 15 years of age, or 13 to 14 when she was engaged with Joseph, and around 15 when she had the Lord Jesus. And Mary, her parents, brought her up fearful of God under the law of Moses. Now, today, we don't work in the law of Moses. But they lived during that time because it was the time of them. And Mary has many good attributes. One of them is that she believed what the angel told her. First, she asked to understand, and then she submitted. One of the things that you can see of Mary also here is that Mary never told Joseph. You know that under the law of Moses, she could have been stoned. Although she was not married. Because for them, engaged was as if you were married, only that you could not live together. But forget about it. It was practically the only difference is that they didn't live together and they did not have sexual relations with each other. How different, how the times have changed, huh? Well, that's another subject. But Mary stayed quiet, and we'll see it in a moment. And Joseph, the Bible also said he did not want to defame her or speak ill of her. But both received confirmation. The angel spoke to Joseph separately and told him also how the child's name would be. Mary never went and told him. Let's read this story here, which is why it's important to understand. Remember how I spoke on Thursday? I spoke a bit on some is knowledge. Knowledge is just reading the Bible. But understanding comes with the explanation. You can understand what you're going to read. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Not that she didn't know, again, in this sense, as we understand it, not that she didn't know, as in she didn't know who Joseph was. Again, know, as I've taught you many times, from the Greek word hinosko, has to do with a relationship. In other words, she hasn't had relationships with any man. Then Mary and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born with you shall be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, or better said, Elizabeth, your relative, your cousin, has also conceived a man in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. As we read, Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. Then Mary said, if you want to know in what moment exactly Mary became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She was between 13 and 14 years of age. You can see something very good here. You don't see many young girls of 13, 14 years having a fear of God. Amen. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Notice how she no longer didn't have contact with Joseph yet. She went to the mountain. City of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, her cousin. And as we've studied, Zacharias is the father of John the Baptist. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, in this case, John the Baptist, 6 months already pregnant, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now science calls it fetus. And many governments say, a fetus doesn't have a right to life. So I get in trouble with saying that. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Same words the angel said. Elizabeth says the same to Mary. The same words that the angel spoke to Mary. You understand? But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe, speaking of John the Baptist, which is why you have to understand what you're reading, she was already 6 months pregnant. The babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary here recognizes that she needed a Savior as well. So now here comes a question. Because certain traditional groups, religious groups, say that Mary is the mother of God. The question is, Mary's the mother of God, meaning Mary created God? That's the expression that's used. In Psalms 100, verse 3, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He made us, and not we ourselves," meaning is how we are creation of God. Aren't you thankful to the Lord that now that we've been born again, we are more than a creation, we are children? But to understand that word creation, it means that Mary was also a creation of God. And this isn't speaking bad of Mary. This is against the doctrines of man. But I'm speaking good of Mary here. Do you see it? That means then, that Mary is the mother of the Lord Jesus in the human sight, in her. She is mother of the body, of the flesh of the Lord Jesus. Because God to come here, he needed a vessel in which to occupy a body and to do his finished works here. You can't crucify a spirit. Amen. A spirit doesn't bleed. But to say that Mary is the mother of God, no, and I can assure you, Mary never asked for us to praise her, and Mary never said. On the contrary, actually, go to John 2. I believe you could say something of Mary. And in my opinion, which is the correct one, speaking good here of Mary. 2, the speaking of the weddings of Cana. The third day, go to 2 verse 5. His mother Mary said to the servants, well, I will read 1 and 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Does it say the mother of Jesus? Does it say the mother of God? Although Jesus is God in the flesh. But understand, who reads, what did the Lord say? Understand. Jesus is God. Jesus means Jehovah save, God save, or the Lord is salvation. But it's the spirit of him. And the spirit of God, the Father, who are one. Mary is not father, is not the mother of the Father, but only the mother of the body of Jesus. So it's incorrect to say Mary the mother of God. Here I see it in my Bible. The mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, the mother of Jesus, they have no one. Then Jesus said to her, woman, what do you concern have to do with me? My hour has not come yet. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. Do everything that he tells you. Do everything that Jesus and his word tells you. Mary never asked, praise me. I'm about to let a bomb drop, huh? But that's the truth here. I'm not speaking bad of Mary. I'm speaking bad of those who promote a false doctrine. Just imagine this. You could imagine it this way. Now, of course, which is why I said imagine it. Because what I'm going to say, of course, is not going to happen. And it hasn't happened. And it never will happen. But just an example. If Mary could descend from heaven, you'd say, why do you praise me? I never told you to praise me. As we don't praise David, King David, we don't praise Abraham. We don't worship them. We praise them. We can recognize them. We go, here, we're learning something of Mary. Humility. Amen. Whatever he says to do, do it. Continuing here in Luke. I don't know if I shared this, but again, Mary never told Joseph of what had happened. Bible doesn't tell us, and according to historic data that there is, it seems that Mary never told anyone. Well, now let's go to Matthew. Something similar. Here we're going to deal with Joseph. Matthew 1:18. If you have some doubt, you can write it down, or you can tell us through our email address, and the people who are watching television or radio, you can contact us through our email address after the recording, once this is broadcast. Now, Luke No, apologies, Matthew. Thank you. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. The birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, Mary the mother of Jesus, of the flesh of the human side, but not the mother of God. Verse 18 again. In Multimedia, please help me with that verse. New Living Translation. And then New International Version. Because some people have this idea that betrothed, specifically in the Spanish translation, it means that she was recently married. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was engaged to be married. International. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Amplified Classic. Now the birth of Jesus took place under these circumstances, with his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph before they came together. Together as in husband and wife, before being married and having relations. She was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the Amplified. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, when she was found to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now what I'm emphasizing here is because there are people who have the idea that Mary was already married. Which is why I make emphasis on this. 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Why? Because why didn't he want to publicly example? Why? I could help a brother out here. Don't whisper it. Can I tell you a secret? Scream it out. Why? Because they were going to stone her. You can see here also humility from Joseph. Oh, I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to get revenge. She cheated on me. And you can also learn from this as speaking wrongfully of a brother or sister in Christ. Fire. It's not on you. Leave them to be. Well, they did wrong. Well, that's on them. You have a life. Focus on your life. Amen. So you can learn this in this verse, which is why it's important to understand what we're reading. Verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, or descendant of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Again, Mary was of the descendants of the lineage of David, which is why the Lord Jesus was also, how they would shout out to him, those who were sick, Jesus, son of David, as in descendant of David. And David was of the tribe of Judah, which is why the Lord is of the tribe of Judah, of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, I could stop preaching on this and just focus on the tribe of Judah in this moment. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for what which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and he shall, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice, Mary, how tremendous, how great this is. Mary never told Joseph. Mary never wanted to defend herself. For my critics who listen to this, oh, speaking wrongfully of Mary. No, I'm speaking good of her. Mary didn't want to defend herself. You can learn that. Don't try to defend of the whole world, of those who criticize you, and giving every single explanation to the whole world, because you believe in the Word and in the Lord. I never said not to give testimony with your life and to testify with the Word. But if they're criticizing and they never understand, leave them be. Don't try to defend of what you believe in. Hallelujah. Well, see what happened here. Mary never tried to defend herself. Glory to God. She was willing, if necessary, to die if she was to be stoned. And Joseph was a good man, a just man. He said, no. I'm not going to attempt and go against her life, but I will leave her. So the Lord spoke to her through the angel. Said the same. The angel Gabriel revealed to Mary what his name would be. Reveals it to Joseph as well. Joseph reveals it to Joseph through a dream. And Mary, literally, the angel appeared to her in person. Mary never said, an angel appeared and told me that I'm going to have a son. And she never said, please don't defame me and don't leave me. Don't think you're fully of me, because then they're going to stone me. And look, the kid's name is going to be Jesus. Never said anything. Sometimes there are times to give explanations, sometimes not. The times where you shouldn't is because there are people who are, regardless what time you put in them and how much you explain, how much you teach them, how much you tell them, how much time you use, they will not listen. Hallelujah. Not all the time, but there will be time. So then you're wasting. You're wasting your. And time is something that you can recover. Don't lose it. Use it wisely. So this all was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us, quoting Isaiah here. Yes, the question is, what do you refer with the word when it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit if she hadn't come to dwell in us? A very good question, again with John the Baptist. There is no... There are some things that the Bible doesn't always explain. Have you read Genesis? When it's Genesis 1, when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? And haven't you ever had foolish people? And who created God? And where? They want to know exactly every single thing, every single point. And since the Bible doesn't tell us, there's a reason. You know why? Because God wants you to believe Him through faith. Actually, you need more faith to believe the nonsense that we come from a monkey. Remember, someone here from Douglas told me, oh yeah, I come from the monkey. And if you saw him, perhaps if you know his name, best if I don't tell you, because I don't want to speak wrongfully of that person. But when I saw that person, I said, well, yeah, you did, because he looked like a monkey. Missing a tail, bananas, and to hang from a tree. But I said, but I come from Adam and Eve, and my spirit descends from God. Glory to God. But you need more faith to believe that you come from a monkey, or that chimpanzees are your cousins. Haven't you heard that nonsense? So why is it that the chimpanzees haven't evolved, just us? You need more faith to believe that you come, I don't know, from... You need more faith to believe that nonsense. Some of you need the ministry of a blanket. Raise your hand. Yeah, because you're all very comfortably, but with those lights here. Hallelujah. You need more faith to believe that. Well, in the New Testament, to explain this question, today in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit becomes to dwell in us. And speaking that the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. They didn't speak in tongues because it wasn't the dispensation for tongues yet. But in some way, the Holy Spirit, the way that the Holy Spirit came to them, if you notice just for a moment here, to answer this question. I was referring to any questions. Oh, we're speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, but that's fine. Don't ask me how many angels fit in the point of a pin. Stay on subject, okay? But I know, since I know you, you're gonna argue. Some of you could have been licensed without having studied. Oh yeah, but we're reading it here. Again, I have to read to center on the subject. What it says here, Luke 1:41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her voice. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit that she spoke out with a loud voice. There is no evidence in the Bible that Elizabeth spoke in tongues. It was impossible, nor the Lord Jesus, nor Mary. The only explanation that I have to say that she was filled with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit illuminated her understanding. The way that God would work before the Holy Spirit coming to live in us, God would speak to men, to the prophets, etc., as you know. Be it appeared to them, an angel appeared, they would hear a voice, or he would speak to their minds, literally. That's the only way that he could speak to them, even in dreams. It was 100% in their mind. Now, us, under the New Testament, gives testimony to us first in the Spirit. And we use our mind to understand what we're listening to. And here you can see, was the same one that cried out. Where am I? Chapter Luke 1, notice. Verse 22, then she spoke out with a loud voice. Who? Elizabeth. When Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who spoke those words before Elizabeth? The angel. Come on. The angel. Elizabeth was there in that moment with Mary when she heard those words? No. So here we can see how she was filled with the Holy Spirit. There was understanding. Continuing. Notice here in Matthew. Matthew 1:21. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now let's go to Isaiah 7. Who is this Jesus? My answer is, my answer will start with who he isn't. He is not, he was not only a good man, although he was a good man. He was not only a great prophet, although he operated in the anointing of the prophet under the New Testament. Others say Jesus was only a good apostle. He also operated in the anointing of the apostle, and he operated in the five gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the five ministry. But it wasn't the only thing he did. Jesus is the Son of God, is God incarnate. Isaiah 7. Now, before going to Isaiah, we'll stay there in Isaiah 7. Okay. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Going back, Isaiah 9:6. Let us go up against Judah and trouble it. Let us make a gap in it for the walls of his house, and set a king over them, the son of Tabul. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, ever forever. Who is that Jesus? He is the only one. There is no other path to heaven. That's not true of Buddha or this or the other, of doing this and this idol. No. Acts 4, verse 12, please.
The word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Nuvia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries. And I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself and I can assure you it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
Who is this Jesus? Nor there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. New Living Translation. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, but of the Lord Jesus. And you are saved by putting faith in his finished works. We are not saved by behaving wrong or behaving correctly. No one is going to go to heaven or hell because of their behavior or because God has this scale, seeing if your skill is greater or worse. If you have good works, you go to heaven. That's a lie. Hell is full of people that thought that way. They're thinking, I deserve salvation because I behaved well. One of the reasons why God gave the law, is to show man how miserable they are. And if you understand something of this, you'll stop using that phrase of when something good happens to you, oh, I deserve it. Or you let someone tell you, oh, you deserve it. We don't deserve anything, glory to God. If it wasn't because we put faith in the grace of the Lord Jesus, and faith is of the God and of the Lord Jesus, and grace comes from him, and he gives you of your faith so you can grab hold of his grace. At the end of the day, everything is his. What you and I do is just using our free will to obey and connect with him. Now that I'm in Isaiah, I've been in churches where, before giving place to me, not enough the pastors know what I speak of. to speak against me. I don't know. Many places where I've been. Oh, here it is. They'd even start preaching half an hour before. I remember this pastor started preaching almost 45 minutes before letting me preach. And you know what he spoke on? This. So when you read it, you understand. Isaiah 59. Who is that Jesus? Glory to God. So that means I could behave well. Behave bad. Behaving bad will put you in trouble with the authorities here. Just sinning loosely will give place to the devil. That's stupid. But the Lord loves you, stupid. I mean, brother. But this is the truth of the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. And from there, 15-20 minutes just screaming to all of us, including me, that of how miserable we are, that we're sinners, that we're disobedient, how bad everything went for us, and why God didn't bless us. And I say that because I was there and I was about to preach. I was about to preach it all the contrary. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. And two, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. What happens here? If you read this, and you read it with the mentality of the Old Testament, you're going to be condemned. But today we're in Christ, glory to God. And God does not hide his face from you. Actually, when you're in disobedience, when you harden your heart, you don't hear from God, you turn your face, not God. God is not mad with you. It's when the person is in sin and you're in sin, that person then has a sin conscience. Here in Douglas, when Pastor Jose Luis Cantu and his wife were there in charge of the radio, two or three pastors had already spoken on that, and he said, what you spoke to in the morning and this whole week gives license to Christians to sin. Another one told me, you speak sin very lightly. I said, you take the blood of Jesus very lightly. One single drop of the blood of Jesus, if you could use the example of a scale, you put all the nonsense and all the disgrace and sin and disobedience, one drop of the Lord Jesus, you would put a scale with one drop and all the sins of the world, that drop would overcome everything. That scale would tip towards the blood of Jesus. In my opinion, which is correct, if you truly understand your identity, and what the Lord Jesus did, then you will leave a life of sin and you'll want to serve God. But the reason is the people that take this so lightly, come dodgerously and come to church whenever they want to, is because they haven't understood. Because when you understand, truly understand, man, you want to run to continue learning of this Jesus and of this word, and you want to understand better. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Who is this Jesus? Matthew 16. I'm going to explain a bit on the word Christ, the Anointed One, Messias. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We'll see two words here, brother in the head. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's it. I'm going to pray for you or anything. Father, we love you. We thank you. Give me a moment of your attention. Don't close your Bibles because we haven't finished. And let me pray something over you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you the glory. Father, thank you for every person that listens to this here in church, those who will listen through radio and television. Thank you that the Holy Spirit helps us. I know that the devil will use my words to bring offense to people. I know that there is a spiritual warfare when we speak the word of God. There is spiritual warfare. The devil goes and wants to bring offense and wants to bring confusion. But thank you that the Holy Spirit also brings conviction. And I believe by the grace of the Lord Jesus that there will be more people where the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. And I thank you, Father, for it. For those people who listen to me eventually through radio and television, thank you that you bring conviction to them and you help them to understand. And beforehand, I take authority against all that spiritual force of Satan that will try to bring offense, all those demons of confusion. I curse their work beforehand. I cast words in the spiritual world in this moment. And I thank you. Father, thank you that I believe that if we could understand ourselves with more revelation, truly, what is redemption? Understanding truly our redemption, we will be able to understand healing, prosperity, etc. Everything that was paid for by Christ Jesus. I thank you and I believe we receive that revelation. And I speak beforehand in our next sessions, in our next series, speaking of saving our souls when we reach the point of what is redemption. Beforehand, I thank you. And I speak spirit of wisdom and revelation in his understanding. I praise you for it. I glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The Holy Spirit. I'm going to make a pause here in what I'm sharing because I'm going to speak of healing. But I'll tell you this quickly and then I'll explain it. First, please listen. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Before praying, I'll explain this. I'm going to stimulate your faith a little here. If you're a disciple of the word, not just a believer, there are people who are believers in Christ Jesus. Others are Christians. But if you're a disciple, you study the word, you would have noticed that from Romans to Judas, which are known as, in English, we call the Pauline letters, the letters from Paul to the churches and to his faith partners. Not just the letters of Paul only, but specifically, especially in this case, the letters of Paul. But if you see Judas, Titus, James, there's not a single teaching that speaks of healing. There's not a single promise of healing. If you read in the Old Testament, there's a giant amount from Exodus and in the Psalms, and it's good to use those verses, but putting them under the works, the finished works of Christ Jesus. But if you read from Romans to Judas, from Romans, the book of Acts, although it was under the grace of God, we were already in the New Testament, they are the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. But if you read Romans to Judas, you will not see a single promise of healing, except where Peter mentioned, the apostle Peter mentioned. And this all has to do with who this Jesus is. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He's the Messiah. I won't see it today. I'll see it on Tuesday. He is the Anointed One of God. And that anointing is in us. You're going to like it if you come to listen to this. But also, He is our healer. But understand this. There is not a single promise of healing. As in Jeremiah, there's a part in Jeremiah where it says, "And I will bring healing." I will bring healing, and it mentions it. But in the New Testament, from Romans to Judas, if you seek it, you won't find a single word of healing. The only thing you will find of that is when the Apostle Paul mentioned in Corinthians the gifts of healing. If you seek the word healing, you won't find it. But three times, two of them referring to the acts, to the gifts of healing. But another one is in 1 Peter 2:24. And notice what it says. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins, redemption, in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Notice redemption and righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. What I'm saying is that if you remember, in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus told the paralyzed man, what is easier to say? Stand up, your sins are forgiven. What I'm saying is, if you understand redemption as a full package, you understand that if the Lord Jesus died for your sins and paid for your sins, then he also paid for you to be healed. But the religious traditional church has preached, have separated it. That if you do this, God will heal you. If you behave, God will heal you. If you do this perfectly, no one does anything perfectly. That doesn't mean that we don't go and strive for perfection and the things that we understand, we be obedient in it to not give place to the devil. And if you understand, truly understand a loving God and understanding how much he loves you, corresponding to it. What I'm saying is the traditional church, these preachers have separated. If you understand redemption, why do you think Peter mentions healing at the end? Again, he bore our sins, died for us, we live in righteousness, right? Not your righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And it mentions and says, and by his stripes you were healed. If you understand healing, or forgive me, if you understand redemption, glory to God, you won't be struggling to receive your healing. The only reason the majority of people don't receive their healing is because they live in a sin conscience, in a conscience of condemnation. If you have to remove things, and God requires this, and God requires the other, well, my God, the requirements of God are so high. Why do you think God gave the law to show us how miserable we were? Because if someone came and said, God owes me salvation because I've never robbed, but the law would say, yeah, but you've killed. Another one, I've never killed, yeah, but you've desired the woman of your friend. There are more than 600 commandments. Do you know that those who educated John the Baptist were so legalistic, not the Pharisees, my God, were nothing compared to them, that you could not go to the bathroom on a Saturday. Which is why when John the Baptist started doubting, one of the things that the Lord went to tell him was, blessed is he who did not receive offense. Because John preached a very ultra-legalistic message, and the Lord preached a message of grace, of faith, of understanding, and the kingdom of God. All contrary. Now, John preached because that was the time of him, and that's fine. If you understand this, you're going to say, glory to God. Hallelujah, I receive my healing. Father, what do I have to do? We'll receive your healing. People don't understand this. One time, I was in another church and I was preaching. And after preaching for almost 2 hours of the finished works of Christ Jesus, I asked for the people to go forward. And when I was preaching, praying for a brother who had principles or first stages of cancer, not cancer wasn't developed yet, but it had already started or something like that, because I remember he said that word, like first stages, and they were going to start, not chemotherapy, another type of treatment. I don't remember exactly, but it was headed towards it. And the pastor said, pastor came and said, it's because I tell my brother in front of everyone, I tell my brother that that's why God doesn't heal him. God doesn't heal him. And I, brother Hughes, really, I don't think he's going to heal him today because he doesn't stop smoking. Do you think the man needed that right there? Well, no. Think God is not going to heal him because he can smoking? If you think that, you still haven't understood what I've preached to you for years. Because the Lord already paid for that. This isn't if God will hear you or not. In reality, it's if that man exercises faith. Do you think he was going to exercise faith when he hears his own pastor say that? What's the explanation there? What you have done, Brother Hughes? That believe, brothers and sisters. And believe and receive your healing. Once you're healed, I would have said, no, do not continue smoking so that you do not give place to the devil. What did the Lord tell that woman who was going to be stoned? Go and sin no more, because sin was going to bring consequences. What could I do? It's not my church. I could almost rebuke the pastor and I say, don't listen to the devil here through your pastor. Why does he want the devil there? I said, brother, what if we deal with this after? And I turned and he said, oh, that's fine, brother. That's fine, brother. All I'm going to tell you, brother, here is believe, receive. No, but it's true. I deserve it. What's happening to me, I deserve it. Because it's true. Even my wife has spoken. He wanted to give me. He was about to start speaking all the done and everything. Giving his whole history and testimony and how he had smoked and all of that. I said, I don't want to listen to anything. Do you think that was going to help the faith of the other people? No. Am I promoting them that you smoke? And you cast more smoke than an old chimney? No, because that gives place to a devil. Dummy, in love. And you're ruining your own lungs. And at the end, the lungs won't even be good for the dog. He won't even want to eat them. But when people say, oh, God's not going to heal me. Then when? Well, when I stop having evil thoughts, and when you do everything perfectly, then you're never going to be healed. Idiot. No, not you. I'm talking to the religious ones. Understanding this? When I reach that point of redemption. You're going to hear those screams of demons casting out. You're going to have your mind here. Hallelujah. I know they're going to accuse me of things as I've always been accused of. That's on you. Because for me, understanding this, I remember when my pastor who was in heaven told me, God is not going to heal you. And I was full of fever. I had fever and I said, what? I'm fricked. He said, he already healed you more than 2,000 years ago. All that, oh, hallelujah. What's easier? What's easier? Wanting to remove something from someone? Or protecting what you already have? I say that protecting what you have. Don't try to be receiving healing when you've already been healed. Recognize it. That's it. Who is this Jesus? Praise the Lord that you came. Yeah, I'm going to pray. Thank you. But you can come. Don't. And what about the flowers that I gave you, love? Father, we love you and we thank you. We glorify you and we honor you because you are good. Father, thank you that more than 2,000 years ago that when you saved us and we receive salvation and we receive you as our Lord and Savior. So we receive you as our healer. But we understand that you have given us the authority here on this earth. Therefore, I release that healing. I speak words full of faith. Help me, Holy Spirit. I curse all work of the devil in your body in the name of Jesus. I call you free of all condemnation and guilt. Receive healing in your body. Thank you, Lord. Because more than 2,000 years ago, we were healed. I release that healing power. I speak that every organ of your body is healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I release that power. I speak to your lungs, your bones healed. Every cell of your body is healed. Every organ, I speak healing. I speak words full of faith in the grace of the Lord. Hallelujah. I speak revelation and understanding, spirit of wisdom and revelation of what we have in Christ Jesus. And I release that healing power. I curse all work of the devil in your body. Hallelujah. You know, someone asked me, if Jesus already blessed me financially, why do I need to give? Because God placed it all through seeds. The grace of God is encapsulated in seeds. And faith and acting. Acting not so that God can heal you or to bless you, but because he already did it, you recognize it. And the moment that you sow financial seeds or words of faith through seeds, you're recognizing that grace of God and the laws of the kingdom now start to move in your favor. Is it difficult to understand? Tell me, if someone doesn't understand it, I give you my word. Actually, you know what? If some of you don't understand it, say, I don't understand it. Service is over. We go and you go with me to my office. And I don't care if I don't go to eat. I can stay with you up until you understand it. Some of you don't understand. I'm asking, do any of you not understand? Or do you all understand? But now here's another thing. You can know this and understand it and speak it and know verses and be just as sick, just as poor, just if up until you don't change your way of thinking. That's part of your philosophy. Philosophy doesn't mean aristocracy and the Greek gods, and philosophy simply means a way of thinking. And you believe it or not, all of us, every single one of us that you're seated here, including myself, we have a philosophy. The thing is, does it align with the word of God, or is it contrary to the word of God? Amen.
My recommendation is that our way of thinking align with the word of God. I know thinking, and we need to change it towards the word. Word is clear on what it wants for us. How many of you have been clear when you give instruction to your kids? I want you to clean your room. I want you to pick up this. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And you give them specific instructions, right? As parents, you have done it. Maybe in your jobs, received specific instructions. And when kids are don't do exactly what we ask them, it's bothersome, right? It doesn't agree with you. It saddens you because we want the best for our children. How many times have we told our kid, we've already been further. I know how this is. I have already been your age. Does that sound familiar? Because we know things. And many times, kids, our children don't see to the future. You don't know. You don't see more than that. You only see what's in front of you. The Lord is the same with us. He tells us what he wants. He left a specific instruction. He left his will written. He left it written. Let down when your kids don't obey. How the Lord feels. How the Lord feels when we don't obey. When he left instructions. The pastor has taught. And he said it here. When you don't know something, it's you're taught. When you make a mistake and you're taught, you correct it. But when you keep making the same mistake, then it's disobedience. No longer ignorance, it's disobedience. So when you and I don't do the word after it's taught, then it's disobedience. And if we're not in good standing, it's because let's go over to Deuteronomy. And you can say it's in the Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament, we can see the kindness of God. Deuteronomy 28. Going to begin. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligent obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all the blessings shall come up and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. One, saying, giving us a preview. A provisional yes. If you put in, read it again. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Looking for what? Observe carefully all his commandments, It's our part. I command you, this is our part to, and to carefully obey his commandments. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Word of five. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And a time ago, I was meditating on these verses, highlighting them, reading them, and meditating. Lord, I want more understanding. I want to learn your word. So, how do I apply this, my basket and my kneading bowl? And the Lord told me, your pants. How many homemakers go and buy groceries, weekly groceries? And we have a place where we put all those. That's our pantry. And this is our basket. Nothing will be missing. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading. Connect one with five. Go back to one. Now, it will come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of your Lord to observe carefully his commandment, which I command you today, the Lord will, your God, that you blessed shall be your basket and kneading bowl. Every time people listening to us, people struggle with other places. That read these say, if I do this, the Lord's going to do this for me. And the way you read it through the grace of the Lord with the revelation in Christ now, listening to the Lord and to listen to the guidance from the Lord. And if you put into action, it's the way of responding. This New Testament. When I respond, because there's people that use these verses, the Lord is obligated. Because I'm listening and the Lord doesn't do anything. And it's where people get stuck. They stay with that legalism. So I'm explaining. So when people are listening, they understand. And that now we respond in faith. That's obedience. Obedience, the laws work. The Lord put those laws for our favor. If we give much space to the Lord, then we will be respond in faith. So now we respond to that faith. And if you see all of this, 28, from 1 to 13, how much the Lord desires that we live. In a way that we receive, and he wants us to serve him, not for obligation, but love and gratefulness. And just the same way that we don't want our kids to come to us just because they want something, because we're going to give them something, but because love attracts them to you. Because they love us, they obey. And love just simply manifested. Grace is simply manifested because we love the Lord. We respond to created, and then we'll see. Our pantry will be full. Over to verse 8. The Lord will command a blessing in on your storehouse. How about your bank account? Those there. Storehouse. We don't have storehouses like physical storehouses, like those who sow in big quantities and they harvest. But what a bank account always be supplied, and to which, in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you, and in the land which the Lord your God giving you. Verse 11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Goods and riches, our home, goods and riches. That's because we respond to the Lord Jesus. One of the things that I personally go over to Proverbs. This is one of the things I pray for you. Because it's a promise. Respond to it. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. How many of you are righteous? How many of you are children of God? There is a promise that there must be a great provision. Not anything, provision. When you and I are thankful with the Lord, and when you and I correspond with the Lord of the God, with our offerings, when we give, when we sow a financial seed, that seed is produced, and that causes that promise of great provision be touchable, that you're able to see it in your home. I pray this for you, but you also need to correspond with it. Not because you pray for it, it's going to be true, and not because it's written. And it's going to be tangible because you are obedient. And the pastor added, when we correspond, it's not I do, then the Lord does. If I do this in the kingdom, then the Lord is obligated to bless me. Not by an obligation, it's by we're corresponding because we recognize how beautiful when the Lord, when our kids do something without us asking, because they're part of that family and they know how that family operates. In the kingdom of God, we're also a family and we know how these things operate. We learn from them. We cooperate with the laws, and the laws are in motion to our favor always. Amen? So, give thanks to the Lord always that your pantry is abundantly provided. When you speak the promises of the Lord, it will give you strategies and techniques on how to produce more and more and more money, that it be that your finances be multiplied. So, be on your feet with me. We'll give thanks to the Lord. Just seeing this, how the Lord is saying, how am I going to do this to buy groceries or to buy eggs? How am I going to do it? Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, that your word tells me that my basket and kneading bowl are blessed and that they're abundantly provided, that my pantry is abundantly. Thank you. That my bank account is always being fulfilled with provision. And that when you're connected with those prayers, the Lord will tell you, so give in the kingdom, do this and do that, so that the power of the Lord and the laws of the kingdom flow in your favor. Don't stay, don't keep with what can bring you a supernatural provision. Lord, I give you thanks. I bless you. The seed, the offering of every person, every family represented in that. Oh, they're multiplied. Every person that with joy in their heart presents their tithes, I speak blessing over their life because we do it with a thankful heart, recognizing that from your hand we give you. We love to bless you, Lord, and to correspond because you are our provider. You are the one that supplies each and one of our needs and more than that because you are the God of the more than enough. I speak a victorious week over your children, of a week of provision, of direction, of instruction, of correction, of revelation, clarity in your decisions that are based in your word, that they're guided by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Multiplication in our finances. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.